Welcome, podcast listeners, back to the Lone Road iRacers podcast with me, your host, Guy Robertson. And tonight's podcast is a famous track with a more infamous chicane. That is chicane number one at Monza. So where is this killer chicane? It's clearly at the Monza circuit. Well, where is Monza, folks? It's a racetrack near the city of Monza, north of Milan in Italy. It was built in 1922 and is the world's third purpose-built motor racing circuit after Brooklands and Indianapolis, and the oldest in mainland Europe. Monza's first chicane, the Variante del Rettifilio, is a focal point of the Italian Grand Prix circuit, renowned for its speed and history. The podcast is going to explore why it poses such significant challenges for drivers in both real-world racing and iRacing simulator, and how these challenges extend beyond mere mechanics into the realm of strategy, adaptability, and mental fortitude. Monza, often dubbed the Temple of Speed, is characterised by its long straights and high-speed corners. However, the Variante del Rettifilio interrupts this rhythm with its sharp right-left sequence situated at the end of the start-finish straight. The chicane, flanked by barriers and lined with aggressive curbs, demands precision, finesse and split-second decision-making from drivers as they negotiate its tight confines. We're going to take a look now in the challenges it represents both in the real world and then into the iRacing simulator. And I'm going to break it down into three little points for each category. Braking zones, turn in points and curbs and track limits, because they affect the same drivers whether you're in the sim or out of the sim. Braking zones in the real world. A transition from flat-out racing to hard braking for the chicane is a critical moment in the lap. Drivers must gauge their braking points perfectly to shed speed rapidly while avoiding lockups and maintaining control of the car. Turning in points. Finding the ideal turning points for the chicane's two corners is paramount. However, with a limited visibility due to the proximity of barriers, on the high-speed approach, drivers must rely on muscle memory and instinct to hit these points consistently. Curbs and track limits. Monza's curbs are notorious for punishing drivers who exceed track limits. Straying onto these curbs not only risks upsetting the car, but also invites penalties, making it imperative for drivers to stay within the confines of the track while pushing the limits of their performance. Moving on to us, the iRacers. Realism in physics. iRacing prides itself on its commitment to realism, replicating the intricacies of real-world racing with remarkable fidelity. This extends to the simulation of Monza's first chicane, where factors such as tyre grip, suspension dynamics and aerodynamic effects closely mirror those encountered in actual racing. Brake modulation and control of the car. Just like in reality, iRacing demands precise brake modulation and delicate car control to navigate the first chicane successfully. Drivers must manage weight transfer, balance and grip levels, negotiate the corners efficiently without compromising lap times or risking penalties. Visual clues and adaptability. iRacing's accurate portrayal of Monza's first chicane allows drivers to familiarise themselves with the circuit's layout and develop strategies for tackling its challenges. By honing their skills in a simulated environment, the drivers can refine their visual cues, adapt their approaches, and build the mental resilience necessary to excel on the track. Back in the real world, cars approach the first corner up to 340 km an hour or 210 miles an hour. In the F1 car, that would be in 8th gear, and brake at about 120 metres or 130 yards before the first chicane, the Virianti del Rettifilio. They enter that at 86 kilometres an hour or 53 miles an hour, quickly into second gear and exiting at 72 kilometres an hour or 45 miles an hour, still in second gear. And this is the scene of many first lap accidents. Higher curbs were installed at the first two chicanes in 2009 to prevent cutting it. So those big orange curbs, sausage curbs as we know them as, are a real car killer. It will unbalance your car. You will potentially even tip your car if you hit them at the wrong angle, at the wrong time, and at the wrong speed. So even the best of the best, the F1 racers, mess up, crash, come off, have incidents off tracks at the infamous first chicane at Monza, folks. So we're going to be back in a minute to try and understand how we can take that complex in a better way with some guidelines. Dre is the Audible iRacer's companion. Want to improve your results or get more wins? Download Dre, the digital race engineer. Hit the link in the show notes for a 10% discount. We've been talking tonight about how difficult the legendary chicane at Monza, Turn 1 and 2, or Rettifilio, that we've been learning about the history of it in the real world and the simulator. But how do we take it now? My personal method, right or wrong, but it's what I do. I will start to brake near the blue cone. So people who have driven Monza will know where the blue cone is. It represents the end of the pit exit, so you can then come onto the rest of the track. That is my visual point to start to get ready to brake down and make sure I'm into second gear as I approach the turn in to the right. I'll then keep it in second gear, keep it to the right, lunge to the left or turn to the left, and then gently squeeze that throttle to put the power down. But it's very, very easy to put the power down too quick and spin. This gravel there, this curb in there, there is not a lot of space, and 9 times out of 10 there's usually a car there in bits that's already spun, or a dive bomber you are kind of perplexed with, somebody trying to get through too wide through that specific chicane. So I've been looking for a bit of a guide, what to do, how to do, and I've come across something on Dave Coach Academy that might help us, folks. If you want to go and read it yourself, just put in www.com, davecoachacademy.com, tutorials, and it's all about Monza Track Guide. So basically, it reads that Autodrome National Monza, better known as the Temple of Speed, is an historic circuit situated near Milan, Italy, blah, blah, blah. The track was built in 1922 and has been the home of the Grand Prix since its inception in 1950. It is one of the fastest tracks on the Formula One calendar, with average speeds of over 250 kilometres an hour. The track is 5.793 kilometres in length, consists of only 11 corners, 7 right-hand corners, and only 4 left-hand corners. GT3 top speed at Monza is 260 to 265 kilometres an hour, home to many historic moments in motorsport, including Ferrari's first ever Grand Prix win in 1951. Turn 1 and 2, Virianti del Rettifilio, one of the best spots for overtaking. Turn 1 and 2 at Monza is a tight right-left chicane that requires heavy braking and multiple downshifts. Your approach to the chicane at very high speeds from the long start-finish straight, so it is key to spot your braking marker early. Heading into Turn 1, stay to the left-hand side and look for your braking reference. And on the website, there is a picture of the chicane itself. It doesn't really mark up where a braking area is to, so we can try and reference that specific spot. But it basically says, look just before the 150 meter board. Brake hard and keep the car in a straight line, using aggressive and quick downshifts to maximize engine braking. First or second gear will be ideal at the first apex, depending on your car. Heading deeper into the braking face and closer to the corner, there is a little patch of AstroTurf that becomes visible. Now, which side did that say? I can't really. It's definitely, it's on the right-hand side. I can see it in the picture. Just at the front, sorry. So use this as a reference for where to turn in. Just as the front of your car reaches it, start to turn in and aim for a late apex. You'll find you have to trail brake all the way into the first apex if you started braking at the right point, where you'll then hug the flat inside curb whilst avoiding the sausage curbing that will bounce the car around just beyond it. Immediately give the throttle a little squirt before rolling off and dabbing the brake to make the second apex, which you have to crank on the steering lock to reach. The key is to be on top of the weight transfer and to position the car, which allows you to straighten the wheel early and maximize the exit. Once the car is pointing towards the second apex, immediately try and feed the power on progressively. Avoid the inside sausage curb once again, as it will cause traction control intervention as it bounces the car around in what is a very heavy traction zone. As you start to feed the throttle on, unwind and open up the steering. The exit curb can be used, but beware of abusing it and dipping a wheel onto the gravel. The curb, if used too much, is also very bumpy and can cause traction control intervention. So that is why, folks, it is a very, very difficult, complex chicane to negotiate. You are going the fastest your car can go, and then breaking down to the slowest it can go in a matter of 150 yards, folks. And then you've got to successfully look for some apexes, look for some green matting. Then you've got to have a dab of brake. Then you've got to have a dab of accelerator. And then you've got to turn in. Then you've got to blah, blah, blah. Wow, the complexity to get through that complex every time. Not only clean, i.e. no X's and no damage, not hitting any sausage curbs, sounds a challenge for anybody. And as we said earlier in the podcast, even the best of the best, the F1 guys and ladies, have problems. So is it surprising on iRacing that this is one of the most challenging sections of any track? Probably not. So there are other ways to avoid the pile-ups that happen every race, as I said earlier, whether you're a fixed or an open setup. One easy-to-follow strategy while you're on Monza is to start the race in the pits. Now, it sounds totally bonkers. Why would you want to do that? Well, if your safety rating is getting close to, shall we say, being demoted, why wouldn't you do a few races where you're not gaining IR points, but you're definitely recovering your safety? So that's one strategy. And honestly, when I've used this strategy myself in the 3 years I've been iRacing, I have actually gained a bit of I rating as well, because by the time you've done a few laps, you're no longer last or near the back of the pack. You are mid-pack, because 10, 12 drivers have already found themselves sitting in the pits or already logged off. So that's one strategy. Another strategy is to not qualify. So you're not going to start from the pits, but you will be put towards the back of the grid. Now, that means that there's always probably one or two cars that are going to come screaming down behind you and late break into the first right-hander, into the first bit of the chicane. And that causes a lot of carnage as well. So if you can stay on the left-hand side, watch the guys and girls coming down the inside in your mirrors and expect a pile-up in turn one. So you're very much ready to stop in an instance as the carnage unfolds. And as we all know, it always does, without a shadow of a doubt. So they would be my other strategies to protect yourself, your car, your SR, and also your IR as well. But this is just not a lap one problem. It also will go on for lap two, maybe a bit of lap three, and also later on in the race, as races are getting a bit more tired, tire wears kicking in, and they're pushing to try and dive bomb up the inside and retain and take a position. So think about that one complex all the way through racing at Monza. And if you can stay out of carnage, damage and incidents, you will gain SR and you will gain I rating. What else is happening on iRacing this week, folks? We have the NASCAR iRacing series. Where is it at this week? It is at, can't even see, Darlington Raceway for the 147 lap event, which utilizes the NASCAR next-gen stock cars from Chevrolet, Ford and Toyota. We also have the IndyCar Racing Series, which finds its way to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course, folks, utilizing the returning Dallara IR18 for 85 laps of exciting racing. We have the FIA F4 Regional Tours moving on. This week in the Americas, we are at Road Atlanta on the full course. Asia Pacific, you find your way to Sabuka Circuit on the 2000 full course. And in Europe, you are in on the track Circuit de Nevers-Magny-Cours on the Grand Prix layout. The BMW M-Power Tour is also to continue in its excellent series. The tour this week is finding its way to the WeatherTech Raceway at Laguna Seca in the BMW M Hybrid V8 on the full track. And we're not finished there, folks. The Nürburgring Endurance Championship is also back. It's its third time in 2024 on a nine-race season spanning through till the end of October. Participants can choose between five different classes that include GT3. GT3 includes the Audi RA LMS Evo 2, BMW M4, Ferrari 296, Mercedes AMG, or Porsche 911 GT3R 992. The GT4 includes the Aston Martin Vantage, BMW M4, and Porsche 718 Cayman. TCR includes the Honda Civic Type R TCR or Hyundai Elantra TCR, the Porsche 911 GT3 Cup 992, and Toyota GR86 will run as their own single car classes. We have week 5 of the Rainmaster. This time it is at Alton Park, and we know it's the Ferrari 296 GT3. The iRacing Weekly Challenge is in supercars in Australia, running round the Winton Motor Raceway on the national circuit. The Ringmeister and the Draftmaster are also continuing. Week 9 schedule finds on the Ringmeister the Chevrolet Corvette C6. Point R GT1 at the Nürburgring Nordschleife, and the Draftmaster is at Daytona International Speedway in the Legacy NASCAR Cup Chevrolet Impala Cot 2009. NASCAR eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series is continuing. Talladega this week, live coverage at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 1:30 GMT. NASCAR qualifying Road to Pro is also running as well at Darlington. And that's about it, folks. Wrapping up a very, very busy week on iRacing, folks. What a schedule and what a lineup for us, the iRacers. Well, that's another wrap, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Please let your fellow iRacers know about the podcast. Let's keep growing it. It's a global podcast now. We have got listeners around the globe. So thanks to you, the brilliant listeners, for keep coming back week on week. Don't forget to like the Facebook link. Hit that Discord link if you want to come and join us for our Friday night community racing. And don't forget the 10% Dre link, that's Dre that's rain ready, to help you with your spotting of dangers, crashes, your pit spot in the pits, etc., etc. And guess what, folks? I will see you on the track very, very soon. Happy iRacing!